The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Ed Funston at KILR Esterville and Bridget Shalaney at the Wright County Monitor. Ed, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Sure. Senator, could you give us an update on the situation in Ukraine, whether you'd be in favor of sending more lethal military aid to Ukraine?
I hope we can send all that they need and all that will stop this tragedy that's happening. I can't believe that a president of a great country like Russia would be so inhumane as to kill innocent people by bombing homes and apartment buildings and all that. I think before the week's out, I think we're going to appropriate X number of dollars, I don't know exactly how many billion, but both for help for Ukraine military equipment, but also for humanitarian aid for the people that are fleeing the country or helping people within that country if we can get the help to them. I think that that's the right thing to do. I think we should do anything that is just short of putting American troops or our military involved up against Russia. Bridget.
Thank you, Senator. As far as sticking with the topic of Ukraine, I've seen several press releases from you on different stances you're taking, efforts you're part of. Of those goals that you have for Ukraine or Russia, what do you think is the most important thing how are you working on that?
Shutting off oil, 700,000 barrels a day at $115 a barrel, that is driving up prices here in the United States, but also enriching and having the American consumer pay for part of the war of what Putin's doing in Ukraine. Now, if we were just to cut that off by itself, it would cause the price to go yet higher. So we're coupling that with the reinstitution of the policy of energy independence prior to Biden taking office. He took office, shut down the XL pipeline. He stopped drilling in the United States and Alaska. He has told banks don't lend to energy companies. That's why about the dollar and a half that gasoline's gone up, that he is responsible for. So we need to get back to energy independence so he doesn't have to go to OPEC and Russia and say, send us some oil to drive down our price of gasoline in this country. No, it's just the opposite. We shouldn't be doing what he was doing in the first place ever since he got office. And also increasing the use of ethanol would help a great deal, particularly during the summer months when you can't buy E15. Back to Ed.
Senator, your reaction to reports that the Biden administration is reportedly wanting to restart talks on the Iran nuclear deal?
I voted against the Iran nuclear deal in 2015. I applauded Trump for getting us out of the agreement, and I think going back into an agreement is not going to accomplish Iran not becoming a nuclear warrior threatening the entire globe. Then when you take the sanctions off, there's going to be billions and billions of dollars flow back into Iran that they can use, and that's going to finance terrorism around the world, particularly against Israel, and that's bad. Bridget?
Senator, just recently today I saw a press release from your office about the Biden's Supreme Court nominee and some issues you are having with the vetting process. Could you talk about that?
Well, you mean Judge Jackson, right?
Yes, yep.
Yeah. Well, it's only a matter of process more so than her, what she believes about the Constitution and the work of a justice on the Supreme Court. It seems like they want to get ready on this hearing 2 weeks from today. I think it's reasonable for us to raise questions about getting started that fast. They're saying it's a little longer than it took for Barrett. But you remember, Barrett was not a federal employee ever. So there wasn't a lot of stuff dealing with the federal government to go through in regard to her. There's 500 cases that Judge Jackson had in district court. Only two cases since she's been on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. But she was also a longtime member of the Sentencing Commission, and we need to make sure we go through all of that stuff. And it may not be possible to get that done in the next 2 weeks. So we're raising questions. We haven't said explicitly at this point that it shouldn't go ahead on October 21st, but it seems awful rushing for me because the seat on the Supreme Court's not available until at the end of June, and so there's 9 justices working now, so it doesn't have to be done right now. And the other thing is that any Republican that wants to be able to have a meeting with her, or for that matter, any Democrat that wants to have a meeting with her, ought to be able to have that meeting, and we need to take care and make sure that they get a chance to have personal contact with her, particularly those that are not on the committee. Okay, back to Ed.
Senator, you and Senator Durbin recently introduced legislation to reform and close loopholes in the H-1B and L-1 visa programs. Can you explain what that legislation will do?
Yeah, it does a lot of things, but I just want to answer for the one biggest thing. It requires that companies in America that want to bring in H-1B workers, they've got to show that they made a good faith effort to hire Americans before they import their labor. And I think that's the most important thing. American jobs for Americans first. Then if you can't get the people here, then I want people to be able to import their workers. Last question for Bridget.
Yes, Senator. I recently saw that you are joining some legislation called the Return Act. My husband is a disabled veteran himself who is working through the pension compensation process, and that takes a long time. What would the Return Act do if that goes through?
It would make easier for people to qualify for debilitating. It'd make it easier for people to get help from the federal government. In your case, it'd be the VA. We still have so many federal employees working from home. In fact, I hate to tell you this, we've even got some senator offices. I'm not going to say who the senators are, but they're still working remotely 2 years after they started this process. Now, my employees have been back full-time since June of last year. Prior to June last year, there were about the third of the employees here every third day so we could keep the office functioning fairly good. My workers were able to efficiently work from home, but just think, you got to have an appointment to get Social Security, get into a Social Security office, and then maybe there's one employee in there to take care of the one person the appointment was made for. I had farmers tell me over the weekend that the FSA offices in each county are not open, so farmers have to make appointments, or you have to do it by telephone or do it by Zoom. One farmer said he went to the office to sign papers, had to sign them out in the cold weather. Couldn't even get in the office to sign papers. So the federal government is a service agency. They ought to be serving their people, and you can't serve the public as effectively working from home as you can. So 50% of the federal employees still are working from home, and some of those don't even have a plan yet to come back to work. That's an abominable way to run a government that's supposed to serve the people and serve the taxpayers that pay for that service.
Thank you, Ed and Bridget, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.